We'll call the meeting to order, the regular Board of Education meeting for January 11th, 2021. Roll call, Mrs. Rohr.
Do we not need to do the moment of silence and the pledge, please?
We can.
We should, we have a new meeting. Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's stand for a moment of silence and then the pledge.
I pledge of allegiance,
to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
I'm sorry, this is roll call, correct?
Yes.
All right, present.
Mrs. Fenn.
Present.
Dr. Good.
Present.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Here.
Can I have a motion to approve the January 11th, 2021 agenda? Corrections, additions, deletions?
Yes, here.
And a second.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a question. I was a tad confused. On the Career Center and the OSBA, do we vote on those or aren't those appointments?
They should always be voted.
Okay.
You can.
Any other items of discussion of the agenda? To vote, Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yeah.
TJ, you're muted.
I'm sorry. I thought I unmuted myself. Yes.
Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from the December 7th, 2020 work session and the December 14th, 2020 regular meeting?
Yeah. So moved.
Motion by Fenn, second by Rohr. Any discussion? To vote, Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mr. Hirschberger.
You.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
At this time, I don't believe we have a need for an executive session. Moving on to item two, student recognition, staff recognition, and introduction of guests. Todd?
Mr. Rodriguez would like to start us off with the junior senior high school students of the month.
All right. Good evening. I apologize for my hurriedness, but me is playing a game here that starts in about 2 minutes. So
go quick.
our December students of the month were as followed. Seventh grade was Dana Renninger and Wyatt Utter. Eighth grade was Mia Rodriguez and Talon Beck. Ninth grade was Rosalie Doherty and Corbin Cunningham. 10th grade was Elizabeth Kendig and Ethan Douglas. 11th grade was Maya Miller and Aiden Raber, and 12th grade was Haley Doherty and Andrew Birch, all doing a fantastic job in school and out of school for those 3 weeks that we had before the 9 weeks ended. So congratulations to these students. They did an awesome job.
Thank you, Matt. I believe Katie has Hazel Harvey's.
I do. Adriana Costanzo, Will Steiner, Avery Tedder, Zach Lutz, Jolie Radeball, Izzy Stoll, Lily Stefanko, Dominic DeAngelis, Byron Ballman, Xander Thomas Swedine, Drew Morris, Trevor Cook, and Addison Pop.
Those were for November or December?
for November.
Okay.
And December.
And December.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Jamie?
Yes, for CIS, our November students of the month in third grade were Olivia Walk and Mylan March. In fourth grade, Kylie Conrad and Kale McNabb. In fifth grade, Michaela Berlin and Noah Reese. And in sixth grade, Madison Underwood and Braden Hirschberger. And December, our students of the month in third grade were Lillian Balish, Henry Bailey, fourth grade, Lydia Wirtz and Noah Lance. In fifth grade, Catherine Vincinski and Calvin Gosser. And in sixth grade, Mackenzie Doolin and Grady McNabb. They did a very good job. We appreciate our students of the month. These are, I think for all of our schools, these are our kids who are working hard really day, every day, and just need that positive praise because we appreciate what they do.
Thank you very much, Jamie. It goes without saying, we still have a lot of great things happening in our schools. It's so weird not being around and not seeing these kids. Katie, I'm not sure on the list that I received earlier in the mail from Jody, I have kindergarten. I had two rows of names. Did I get something wrong?
Just read the list that she had sent me today that said November and December student of the month.
Okay. She sent me one earlier.
Sorry if I had something different.
Okay, she sent me one earlier. So if I'm wrong or if this was a previous month, but I have a Den and Dana Miller, Keith Pettit, Bentley Rockwell, and Knock Vollmer in kindergarten students of the month. And in grade one, I have Aaron Warfield, Kennedy Schlutz, or Schultz, I'm sorry, Schultz. Kennedy Schultz, Sierra Zimmer, and Easton Schwammel. And in grade two, I have Gregory Sayre, Braylee Conkle, Caitlin Davis, and Ty Frey. Or is it Fry? Okay.
Fry.
I know you had that wrong.
Ty Fry.
Got it. So I wanted to make sure they get recognized. We do have some great kids doing some great things. And one of the things that I wanted to start doing is when I started here, my first presentation to staff, I bring out one of my favorites, Apollo 13 movies. And we talk about, you know, design engineering, being creative, being innovative. But we came to a point where we had needle movers. You know, that point in the movie where they have the fine 2 amps, then got down to 1 amp just to get the astronauts around the moon and back home. We were talking about 1 amp, what we had to come up with. And what we've had in our district is this, you know, is we have people to do this and they keep coming through. And who I'd like to recognize today, and I see her in our audience and I kind of set her up and I see her family there, but I'm not sure where we would be without Emily Yost right now. She has done a phenomenal job for this district, above and beyond homesick, everything that's going on, homesick, taking care of sick husband, the whole package. And she sends me emails. Okay, I'll get this report out tomorrow. I just need to take a nap. I mean, it has just been non-existent. We get updates almost daily from the Howe Department of Health, from the Wayne County Health Department. We're getting updates from the Wayne County Athletic League as to how we're going to handle our own issues within the league. We have new rules, new regulations, new procedures. We have to record it and we have to submit it all. And just so you know, I send out all the emails and tell people to do this stuff. Emily does it all behind the scenes, behind the work. And then when I called the director from the Wayne County Health Department, I said, I'm telling you right now, she's sick. She's going to take a couple days to rest. We are not sending in a report. We'll get back to you in the new year. And his response to me goes, hers are the best anyway. Whenever she gets it, we'll take them. They've been fantastic. So Emily and your family, thank you very much. You are a needle mover for this district.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Okay, Molly, back to you with public participation.
And with that, we'll move to item 3, public participation. All meetings, board and board appointed committees are open to the public. In order for the board to fulfill its obligation to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient fashion, the maximum of 30 minutes of public participation may be permitted at each meeting. If anyone is out in the public and would like to raise their hand or acknowledge and have time, you are welcome to do so. I don't see anything in the chat, but if you can go on video and unmute yourself so we can address and let you address the public.
Hi, can I address the public, please?
This is Deanne Lutz.
Deanne Lutz is my name. Yes, I live at 105 South Portage Street here in Doylestown.
Deanne Lutz, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I just recently emailed Mr. Osborne, and I just have a basic understanding of the upcoming changes in the buildings and add-ons that are hoping to take place here in the future. And there were some things I cited in an email that indicate that preparation aspect, not in regards to the architecture, et cetera, but the behind the scenes activities. So I know we're very excited about the building and so forth, but I was wondering if there is going to be, I guess, a person or an individual or individuals that we would look to in leading the charge behind the scenes to make sure that transition is going to be fluid for teachers and staff and students, et cetera. That was one of my primary questions. I'm looking back at the junior senior high and when that was built and all the transitions that took place for everybody then. And you guys have an unbelievable staff and administration, but I'm sure there were some bumps in the road. And I just don't know if there was a key person that organized that transition. And I wasn't sure if there was somebody put in place yet or people put in place yet that would be that go-to person during the time frame that this transition, when it does start taking place more. I know you're in the beginning phases, but I was also trying to get a grasp on that. And I know with that past transition, I imagine there were some key learnings in things could be improved. Is there, I guess, a process in place to make sure we don't make similar mistakes that maybe we did in the past facility planning? Is there a strategic plan in place to continue to develop the two remaining campuses that will be left? And to accommodate, are we looking at community growth resulting in a need for a third campus again? So some of this might be futuristic. Mm-hmm. I understand that. To as part of the community, a parent with children at all three schools, what we can anticipate coming down the pipe.
Deanne, I'm not sure if you're speaking.
I really would love.
If you could repeat what you said the past minute, you were frozen there.
Okay. What I was saying is I was wondering if there is going to be individuals or an individual that will be like a liaison between, you know, the teachers, the administration, the parents, et cetera, that makes sure that all of this falls into place as neat as possible. Because I know that I'm sure there were bumps in the road, like I said, with the last transition. And I was just wondering if that has been thought about thus far. I mean, just little details of, you know, remembering like bathroom arrangements and playground arrangements, et cetera, that kind of stuff might be overlooked if we don't go down to the minuscule daily, you know, doings in the school setting. My understanding is there was gonna be a walkthrough or something like that, maybe with the architecture, but I just was curious as to how you guys are putting people in place that might have, you know, tremendous insight to the daily routines in those buildings and how they're going to be addressed once that big move takes place. Mm. So more than anything, I'm just hoping that there's, you know, that transitional team. I'm not sure who that would be exactly. And I also just hope for as much transparency as possible to, of course, all stakeholders, you know, involved. Because right now it just feels like a lot of hearsay. And I just am hoping. I know you guys did an awesome Survey Monkey to get people's input as far as how you guys were going to disseminate information from the board, which is fantastic. And I hope that will be helpful in this planning process. And I have said my piece. Thank you. I hope that maybe you could provide me with answers now or in the future.
Thank you very much, Deanne.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like the floor? You could unmute yourself and announce your name, please. I don't see anyone else, so we will move on to item 4, the superintendent's report.
Okay, my report, I have two updates. The first one will be from Katie Schrock on our special ed profile. Katie?
Right, so just last week we got our special education profile. So I wanted to share a little bit about it since it hasn't come out yet for everyone to see. There's two phases. So the first phase was released in December, and then the second, which actually wasn't released until January, but it was supposed to be released in December. But the second phase will come out in April. But I'm going to share a little bit about the most recent part that we just got. When we look at our students that are enrolled within Chippewa Local School District with disabilities, we're at 12.8% of our students, student population, and that is less than the state average. The state average is 15.2%. So we are, I think that's good to see that number, that we're lower than the state average. Then the next part is just looking at our preschool, and it looks at the LRE for the early childhood, and we met that that indicator for getting our young students with disabilities ready for kindergarten. So there's two target areas. We met both of those indicators for that. And then another section of our youngest learners, our preschool students, is the early childhood transition from that preschool program to the kindergarten program. And we also met that that target goal as well, and that indicator. The next essential question looks at our children with disabilities achieving at high levels. And the first indicator is the reading participation rate. And we met that indicator as well. And then it also looks at the math participation rate, and we also met that indicator. So our students with disabilities are achieving very high. Another indicator is our reading proficiency rate. We met that indicator as well as and the math proficiency rate. So our students with disability, again, are achieving above the state norm and what the state is expecting. So that's really good news in my opinion. Our discipline numbers are below what the state is saying is our cutoff. So we met those goals as well. We also look at students in their least restrictive environment. So a really big thing that we are pushing here at Chippewa, I would say within the last 3 years, is having our students with disabilities in the general education setting. And that's providing them with the least restrictive environment. And we met that goal. So I was really proud of that goal. That's something that we've been really working on as a team. And I think that that's something to be proud of. So I definitely commend my team for that one. That's an awesome thing to see. And then the next essential question asks, are students with disabilities prepared for life and work after they leave Chippewa High School and Chippewa School? And our graduation rate we met, our dropout was less than the state norm, so we met that. And secondary transition, so any student that is 14 and up that is on an IEP needs to have secondary transition goals, and we met that 100%. So we're really providing our students with disabilities the tools and everything that they need to be successful outside of Chippewa local school district. So I think that's awesome. We did great for our non-compliance corrections. We did those fine. We don't have much to work on. So I'm hopeful to see, I'm going to continue to meet with SST9 and see what they have to help us with. But as of now, I think our profile looks pretty good.
Thanks, Katie. Nice job. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chrissy Shafrath will update us on the food service and what's going on with our lunches and breakfast and how many is going to be free.
I don't know if I'm unmuted.
Okay, you're good to go, Chrissy. I can hear you.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Everything's going great with our lunches right now. Our numbers are going through the roof, and it's because everything is free for everyone for breakfast and for lunch. And the state, well, it's actually the federal government, has extended the free and reduced free breakfast and lunch program till the end of the school year. So from now until May 27th, the last day of school, kids will receive free breakfast and free lunch. And our staff is doing great. I had a couple people out today with sick kids, so been working a lot, but it's going great. The only problem we're having is our distributors are running out of food. So, and I think that's because everybody's taking advantage of the program. So our costs might go up a little bit as time goes on and I have to buy more expensive food. But right now, I think we're doing pretty good with our finances and everything. So,
thanks, Chrissy. And lastly, Emily and I will tag team any questions the board may have about what's going on in the schools regarding our COVID numbers, how the schools are reacting to it, anything. I got a list today yesterday that I forwarded to Emily today with all new letters and guidelines and procedures from the state and from the Wayne County. So I really haven't had a chance to even go through them all and sit down and talk with Emily. I just forwarded to her and said, hey, here we go, thanks. And we started drafting new letters. But does the board have any questions for Emily or I regarding numbers, our timeline that we have up on the website, letters that are going out, or anything along those lines?
No, I'm good, thank you. Do we have any time when the staff is going to get vaccinated? Is that being worked on, correct?
Fantastic question. I received through different conversations, what I found out is I'm not as good as Google as I thought I was when I put out a spreadsheet and I found out that I really wasn't that good. I thought I knew what I was doing, but I didn't share it, the link correctly. But Jody caught me and got me straightened out. But we were told that they expect to have everything in by March 1st and everybody have their first round that sign up for it by March 1st. They originally told us middle of February, and today we were told in our superintendent's meeting, it's going to be the end of February, middle to end. The goal is to have any educator that wants to have the shot, the vaccine, by the 1st. The Wayne County Health Department told us, get a number from staff who wants it. Staff can sign up for it and then decline later, but if they don't sign up for it, one will not be ordered for them. And they will only do it by you signed up and, they're doing it that way. Your name, your driver's license, your shot. You can't say, I don't want it so somebody else can have it. It goes with whoever signs up. So we started getting that information out to staff and we'll continue to hit that and make sure everybody understands that. But we're hoping any staff member that wants to get the vaccination will have it in February. They want all schools done by March 1st is what we were told today. And is that the game plan? Emily, have you heard anything different? Okie doke. So, all right. So there's nothing else. We can move on to the treasurer's report. Molly?
Wait. I'm sorry.
No.
I have a question.
Over.
I think Katie's report was pretty fantastic for some of the things I've had to hear all of my time on the board. So thank you very much. And I'd like to know, can this information be plastered on our website or is it already there? I haven't checked today. I got to be honest. I haven't looked at the website.
It hasn't been released yet. The state hasn't released it.
The
state gave it to us. It hasn't been released. We always release it and we have to post it when we get it.
And we post that on our website. But do we put it in our regular English or do we put it in the state's version of stuff? Because
if you don't like it, we'll allow you to change it and put it wrong.
I want it short, sweet, to the point so people know that our staff is doing an excellent job. So sometimes the state gets a tad wordy. Thank you.
Yep. And the last thing is, and part of your board packet, I think it was a 85 to 15 in the survey, but the 22-23 school calendar first reading was part of your board packet for the 22-23 season, school year. So that does allow everybody to plan out ahead. So that was part of your packet and will be posted to the website tomorrow as part of the board minutes, but that would be the first reading of that and for the 22-23 school calendar. So everybody will be able to prepare 2 years out. But, all right, so those are my reports.
If there's no items further to discuss, we'll take a voice recognition of the acceptance of the superintendent's report. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yay.
All opposed? Thank you very much, Todd.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 5, the treasurer's consent agenda. Item A, finance, to approve the county tax budget as sent to you in the amended board packet.
Yes.
Item B is to correct the original one-year hire, contract hiring, which was on September 14, 2020 of William Epling from long-term sub-aid to a classified substitute hiring for the 2020-2021 school year, retroactive to 8/24/2020, paid hourly as needed, step zero of the educational instructor column. Item C is to approve the payment of PO 2100674 to Garmin Miller in the amount of $22,000 for the feasibility study invoice. And item D, to approve the renewal and payment of the district's membership with the Ohio School Boards Association for January 1st, 2021 through December 31st, 2021 at the annual fee of $4,816, PO 200327 for the OSBA membership, briefcase subscription, school management news, for a total membership fee of $4,816. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Here.
Any discussion? Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Dr. Good?
Yay.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yep.
Moving on to item 6, superintendent's consent agenda. Item A, to approve the Daily Record newspaper as the official publisher of legal notices. Item B, to approve the following part-time as needed hire for the 2020-2021 school year. Amy Vetter as a district substitute. Item C, to approve the following substitute for the remainder of the 2020-2021 school year. Laura Pippo or Pipo, I'm not certain, as a teacher aide. Item D, to approve the following spring supplemental contracts for the 2020-2021 school year. I will read the names only. Bill Gearhart, Mark Douglas, Jillian Sweezy, Nathan Sweezy, Catherine Coyle, Jessica McCullough, Victor Short, John Galehouse, Alex O'Hara, Scott Geyser, Tom Richards, Jen Wolf, Sarah Cannon, Daryl Lepley, Joe Coudray, Pat Knotts, Mary Kay Hajek, and item E, to approve the transportation building and grounds supervisor evaluation form. Item F, to approve the student services director evaluation form. Item G, to approve the food service director evaluation form. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Here.
Any discussion? Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Dr. Good?
Yay.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yep.
Moving on to item 7, new business. We'll take nominations to appoint a board member to represent Chippewa Local Schools for a 3-year term to the Board of Education for the Wayne County Schools Career Center. The floor is open for nominations.
Molly, I have a question about that. Can you nominate more than one? Because once I nominate, then I have a following question before we vote.
I don't believe there's limitations on how many you can nominate, but I know we only appoint one.
Okay.
We appoint one board member to the Career Center.
Right, I realize that. So I'll just say I have two people in mind and I'm gonna nominate. So TJ is currently in this role. If this is what I'm thinking of, yes. So I'd like to nominate TJ. I'd also like to nominate Jay Hirschberger. So those are my nominations. And then when we have a moment to discuss, I'll let you know why. So that's my thought.
Any other nominations? We need a motion to close nomination. Is there no more nominations?
No, Molly, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think this needs to get a vote. It's something I enjoy doing, but you know, if Jay has a passion and really wants to do for this, then he can take it. I don't know what Jay thinks.
So since we're kind of a little bit different here, so TJ, it's a 3-year term, and I didn't want to obligate you because I think you're in the same loop as Curtis and I. This is effectively the three of us last year, unless you were going to run again. And so that was kind of, you see where I was going with that?
Yeah, okay. To complicate it even further, I've had several of their board members contact me to tell me they were going to nominate me for one of their executive roles there. So again, I it's something I enjoy doing. It's not something I'm going to die on that sword. So really leave it to Jay and his input on that. And I don't think it needs to go to a vote. So.
And then it's a 3-year term. So what happens if you don't, what happens if
just vote for somebody else. It's just okay. Like somebody right. Leaves the board, vote for somebody else.
Yeah, you find a replacement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just solve this now. I went to a career center in Knox County growing up. So I am passionate about career centers. I don't want it to look like there's any discord or anything like that amongst the board. TJ enjoys it. If and by chance he wouldn't get reelected next year, I would step in and I would be more than happy to take it. The only thing I'm going to ask TJ is that we get a monthly enlightenment of what is going on at the career center. And I'll back out of, I'll withdraw my name from the nomination. You can have it. I just want to know what's going on.
Okay.
If that makes sense in my simple terms.
Sound elegant to me, Jay. I'm good. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Bernadette.
So are we going for a vote or are we going for an appointment?
Well, if we only have one nomination, then there's an appointment by the board. If that's what I'm hearing. The nomination is TJ?
That's correct.
That's what I heard. I heard Jay remove his name from being nominated.
All right.
Am I going to one?
Okay, can we do a motion to approve Bernadette's nomination? Would that be proper? And then just not vote?
Well, we never had a second. Maybe she wants to amend her nomination, so I know what the heck we're nominating.
I would like to nominate TJ DeAngelis remain in this role.
So Bernadette nominates TJ. We have a motion to accept that nomination.
So moved.
And then a second.
Yep.
By Jay. So now we're voting to accept that nomination. Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yeah.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
We are appointing TJ as that liaison. No need to vote. Moving on to item B, nominations to appoint a Chippewa Local School Board member as the OSBA legislative representative. The floor is open for nominations.
Now in the past, that's been Curtis, Dr. Good.
But he's trained. That's what Dr. Good told us. He's trained for this position.
Yes, he is.
Curtis Good.
I will tell you, this one is extremely time sensitive and grueling. I will gladly serve as your OSBA legislative representative.
Thank you, Dr. Good, for giving that your all. Taking one for the team, are you? Very good. Because you went to the annual meeting, so.
This is correct.
There you go. See, I did my homework.
So can I have a motion to close nominations and accept Bernadette's nomination of Dr. Good?
So moved.
And a second, please.
Here.
Any discussion? Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
Mrs. Rohr?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
And Dr. Good?
Yes.
Okay, so no need to vote. Moving on, it is mislabeled A, but C, are there any other items for new business?
Molly, hopefully this is appropriate. I'd like to add an item for discussion.
Certainly.
So I would like to ask our superintendent to give us a status update on the renovations for the school facilities and where we are with our options and maybe the pulse of the community in moving forward to getting us down to two buildings.
Thank you. I can answer that. I appreciate it. Three years ago when I started here in Chippewa, we came in and the junior senior high school was opening. It was a gorgeous new building. As Mrs. Lutz brought up earlier today, we actually discussed some of the shortfalls of that building and where we thought something didn't go as planned, and talked about the success of that building and all the excitement that it brought. In the meantime, you asked me to investigate Hazel Harvey. I brought in an energy audit company, similar to what we did at CIS. They come in and take a look at your lighting and how much money you're spending on energy, and they create an audit for you. And changing over to LED is what, you know, is happening across America and how much that would cost. So one of the first things is two different companies came in. Both of them came back with very similar numbers of what it would cost to update the energy. Both companies said, hey, you need to replace all these windows. These windows are outdated. They need to go. You need to replace doors. They're not secure and they're not energy efficient. They let air in and what have you. And they started going through that. Their biggest concern with Hazel Harvey was the asbestos. Once you started up into that ceiling and started going through the electrical work that needed to be done, that was going to be an issue. So with that, we got a price little bit over $1 million 3 years ago just to update and be energy efficient, update the lighting without an asbestos cost. Secondly, I brought in a roof company. Roof company come in and just said that 65 to 85% of that roof is poor or failing. So it is on schedule to be tore off and replaced. CIS had similar problems and they gave us a quote on that. And I have a booklet that I presented, I think last year or maybe last spring, as to what that cost was. But you know, it ran in the neighborhood of $650,000 2 years ago. With that, we went from that building was supposed to be running on three boilers. We're running on one. The boilers were outdated and out of parts. RT Hampton, which is just a leader in the industry, came in and said, and I said, hey, we need to get air conditioning in this building too. What would it cost? So going through all that, we would be in at least $3 million just to update the building. That's not doing anything else. That's roofing, energy audits, and getting HVAC in there and fixing the plumbing with not an idea as to what would happen if we'd have to do an asbestos abatement or what that would look like or what that would cost. It wasn't part of that. From there, we started to say, okay, let's look at our options. If we would move down the two campuses, what do we save? Well, you obviously save on gas, electric, water, sewer, the maintenance that it takes for the outside of that building, just the overall operations of the building and some duplicate services. So there was a saving right there from that point. At that point in time, we went out and we engaged and we interviewed. And with us is, I see Ted's on here, from Garmin Miller. And we interviewed Garmin Miller along with other companies to look at a plan for us. And they started that process. We brought together a group of people to talk about their ideas and what they thought. And just literally start to look at moving to two buildings. And it's very feasible. And there's a cost savings or return on investment, so to speak, if we would go to two buildings. You're going to have some more and some upfront money. As Garmin Miller showed us, it's somewhere in the, you know, in the $4 to $5 million range to recreate that building into a pre-K six building. And they brought us that information and kind of gave us some designs based on the feedback that they got from that first vision group. And so what's tasked with the board, and it's a very tough decision in a very tough economical time, is how do you fund such a thing? So from there, our investigation, I say ours, Molly and I's investigation went in and we looked at other ways how you pay for this. Obviously we can go to the ballots and ask for new money to pay off and take a loan out to pay for it. With that, we also then would have to turn around and we're going to have to renew our income tax levy to operate. So that's two ballot initiatives. Personally, I didn't like it and we knew we didn't like that, but it is an option. Two, we can do nothing. And doing nothing means we continue to run on one boiler and we hope that the roof doesn't fall in. Because if either one of those things end, we will put money into that building and we'll get to that point. Are we throwing good money at a bad waste? And one of the things we heard back from that community group was, do it right the first time. Don't screw it up. Just do it right the first time. So we come back to the next question. How do we fund it? Well, from there, we looked at the lease purchase option, which is a very good option in today's market. It's less than 2% interest. I see Mark Weekly is here, and his partner, Mike Burns, has already met with the board and discussed at a previous board meeting what those options possibly could be. So, but we have to figure out a way to pay the money back. So we expected to get $1.4 million from the Nexus pipeline. They're not paying their taxes. They have appealed it and appealed it and appealed it. They've lost each time to the Ohio Department of Taxation, but as the report Molly showed, they continue to appeal. Even though they lose their appeal, they haven't been forced to pay to $1.4 million. So we've received $400,000 and some change, I'm obviously estimating here, for this year. We're going to receive money for next year based on what the Nexus company, whoever built the pipeline, believes their taxes should be as they continue to appeal. It is possible the Ohio Department of Taxation could say, we're done with it, this is what you owe. It's possible the Ohio Department of Taxation could say, you know something, we think you're right. We said no three times, but now all of a sudden we think you're right and you only have to pay $400,000. We don't know where that's gonna be. School finance is probably one of the most complicated things in the world because we don't sell anything. When our costs go up, we have to pay them. So as Chrissy said here, the food suppliers are out of food. If they charge us more money, we pay it. I got nothing to pass along to anybody else. I can't pass that cost along to anybody else. The Ohio High School Athletic Association told us today that they're gonna start charging schools again to be members. That's a new cost. It's gonna happen. If we're either gonna be members of the OHSA or we don't have high school sports, but that cost is coming our way. So we don't control a lot of our costs that come our way. So we have to make great business decisions moving forward. Right now in the Economic Times, Marlington signed up and they just announced that they're gonna do a lease purchase. They went through Huntington Bank at 1.8%. I see Ted's on here and I can ask him and Mark's on the meeting here. If they wanna chime in, if they hear people getting better rates with other schools out there, but the lease purchases would allow us to go in a direction. Garmin Miller has took all the information and presented to the board during a work session, what it could possibly look like, building a brand new pre-K wing directly for those kids with the services wrapped around them and in the hub of CIS. And they have some great ideas for renovation of the programs and to move the kids up there. It's unique. I got Mrs. Lutz's email today and I'm kind of thinking, I know we're going to talk about this tonight. Is the timing good? We don't have a ton of money to say, yes, we can go ahead and finance this over 10, 15 years. We're going to have to come up with money to do that. The possibility of selling the middle school property, yes. There are two groups interested in the property. It's just a bad time. Nobody wants to get into the building business of a senior center during a COVID pandemic. But our real estate agent has said, hey, we have two interested buyers that have come out and look at the property. So we could potentially get an influx on that. Potentially we could sign off on the, you know, the Ohio Department of Taxation will say, nope, this is what you owe and we'll get that money. School funding could change. It almost changed. It got through one house. It didn't get through the second house though. It's, you know, but, or nothing could change at all. And in 2 years then we would be looking at the income tax and going back to the public and saying, hey, Nexus didn't pay. We got some money out of the middle school property, but not what we thought. And in 2 years, we're gonna have to potentially ask for more to cover off our payments. There's a possibility, it's called inside millage, that we can move that millage. Not to get too technical, if we move it out of the inside millage, which the board can do, the board can then also move it back. So that's a unique thing. They can move it in and move it back out. But then the homeowners would have to make up the difference of the money. And I will say this, if we took $1 million out and made $365,000 for that $1 million, that's going to get passed on to the homeowners without their vote. If I wouldn't say it's not sneaky, it's 100% allowable by law, but it would take a lot of updating from us and the board to communicate why we would do that. But we also have the ability to move it back. Once we pay off our lease purchase, we can move back. So the timing's right. Financially, it's tough. We're in a tough position. We're projected to be in deficit spending in 3 years. We're going to be there. We know we're going to be there. And I would say, and that's very common in school financing anyway. You're going to be in deficit spending in 3 to 5 years. You know, and you look to save, and that's why you have carryovers to make sure they can get you through your contracts with your teacher unions and your classified staff. But all those things are coming in. Garmin Miller told us, I would say they told me to take, we're getting close to the deadline. If we would want to move quickly, and there's a reason why you'd move quickly. One, to secure the financing. But two, I don't want to be put off a year and then the roof comes in or the boiler breaks down and we're shouting out hundreds of thousands of dollars, even though we started to move on CIS. If we really wanted to get shovels in the ground and start refurbishing CIS, we need to move quickly as a board. And unfortunately, we've been talking about this for 2 or 3 years. You know, never did we ever see interest rates look like this, though, that kind of it pushes us in that direction. Secondly, in talking with Michael Burns, one of the things that we heard from the group, I apologize, I'm battling a cold here, from the vision group was, we need gym space. We can't believe we didn't put in an auxiliary gym. So Garmin Miller drew up plans for an auxiliary gym and adding some locker rooms to the high school. What it would cost. Their recommendation is this. So you don't want to double your costs, your expenses. If you only did CIS and made it a pre-K-6 building and you didn't do the auxiliary gym, all the finance expenses that come with that, you're going to pay again. If you do it at once, then you only pay it once. So everything that comes with, so if you ever bought a house, closing points and closing costs, you only have to do that one time. Obviously we got to go to bond council and there's some work to be done in between that. But I think I'm told all the time as a superintendent, you got to run the school district like a business. Well, as a business, I would pass this cost along to somebody else by raising my prices. I have no prices to raise, but I do believe it's good business to get a return on investment. We can save money through energy, duplication of services. The financing is as low as it's ever been in years to move forward. But if you're asking me, can you guarantee that we're not going to have to go back to the ballot in 2 years to ask for money to finance it? I can't guarantee that. This is where it comes in, where we need to make a good business decision, because we're either going to put money into Hazel Harvey or we're going to put money into CIS. Either way, we are going to invest in one of these two buildings and what it is. And so with the technology upgrades that we could do CIS, educationally speaking, instructionally speaking, in the classroom environment we can build for a pre-K wing, as they presented, a secure wing with the services all around that for those kiddos in their own separate playgrounds, it's there, all included. I really think it's in our best interest to take advantage of the finances out there now and moving forward. The lease purchase program, other schools are doing it. And if the board has questions, I said, Ted is here and Mark is here. They may be able to answer some of these questions on that. But I don't think we're going to get a commitment from the Ohio Department of Taxation within a year or two. I'm hoping it's over. I doubt it, but I'm hoping. I believe once this pandemic ends, we'll be able to sell the middle school property. A developer has looked at it for housing, and a developer has looked at it for senior center. But you know, none of it. They've came and they've looked. They like the property. They love the community, and they love the schools. And so I think there's a good piece to that. And then you can turn around if we do move into CIS. We have the Hazel Harbor property that we could actually go out on the market with. And it settles our auxiliary gym issue, our locker room issue at the high school, two big misses from the previous construction. We save money in transportation and all of our energy and some duplicate services. And we're able to build proper instructional environments for our pre-K-6 group because we get a chance to refurbish that entire building, upgrade the technology and everything, and only do it in one place. So you asked for it, Bernadette. I gave you everything I know. I hope that's with a detailed plan.
I made notes as fast as I can. I will tell you that I put thought into this as a board member. I would like to ask the board, I'm gonna make a recommendation here, whether we have additional discussion now or after my recommendation, but I would like to propose a resolution to have the board vote on moving forward with the lease purchase option. You know, there's risk and reward here, right? I feel like Molly, as the treasurer, has given us information and, you know, month over month, I think we've messaged this. I feel like we've pulled the community in. I was very happy to hear the question and the public participation, because to me, that says that our community is already in this. They're looking for it. When you're thinking about the process and the people and moving buildings, that means you've got people actually engaged. And I think that's a good sign. I think our survey served us well. At this point, we're hearing more questions. You know, hopefully the reward will be in the years ahead. I agree with you. I don't think we are in a position, we're in tough times economically, to go out to our folks and ask for a levy now when we know we need to renew the levy in 2 years. I am not in favor of inside millage. So that's kind of out of the box for me. I'm very concerned. We've looked and looked at this about Hazel Harvey and the roof. And you know, when something happens that you can't, that you're not directing, that puts us in a really bad position. And I'd like to be in the forefront of maybe taking the risk, knowing what we have and knowing that we have some possible options in the next 2 to 3 years to help, you know, pay for these moves and the improvements. So I wrote all that as you were talking. I'm glad I asked, and I'm glad we have public participation. I would like to stop just talking and put this in motion, and I think we need a resolution to do that. So with that said, I'm not sure, Molly or Todd, is this time to make a motion and then have discussion, or maybe keep discussion going with the board?
You should make a motion, and if somebody seconds it, then there can be discussion if, you know, regarding that motion.
Okay. Are we good with that, Molly?
Right. We just need to get the verbiage down of what the resolution would be.
Okay. I'm going to give a shot at it. I may fumble and you'll have to clean up my English. Okay. And again, I wrote this out as we were walking through all that data dump. And I appreciate it, Todd, very much. So here's what I think we need to do to move this from discussion to action. I'd like to propose a resolution to provide the authorization to the superintendent and the treasurer to pursue a lease purchase option with the intent to lock in a rate and outline the cost for financing, I want to say the renovation of school facilities.
Okay, I'm going to reread that. You're proposing a resolution to provide authorization to the superintendent and treasurer to pursue a lease purchase option with the intent to lock in a rate and outline the costs to renovate school facilities?
Yes.
So I would need a motion and then a second on that resolution.
Well, I'm motioning.
You motioned it, yep.
I'll second.
I'll second, yep.
And discussion.
Well, for me, I think we've talked, I've heard this discussion for more than 3 years, which is fine. I think, you know, our choices are, it is scary, and I totally understand that. But for me, it's scary that we're not having safe facilities for our students to be, you know, and our staff to be working in. It troubles my heart that there could be a problem and we have some type of major catastrophe, which would not be a good thing. I don't think labor costs are going to get any lower. I don't think the price of lumber is going to go down. I don't see any big sales coming on the horizon where we can build something with, you know, monopoly money. So I think we've got to take a risk and go forward. And I think of all of the, you know, for Hazel Harvey to be named after a female superintendent, that shows progress in this community. I think we have to make sure to honor our past so we can enhance our future. And Hazel Harvey was one heck of a woman, of a person, human being. And so we've got to move forward. We've got to keep our district safe. We've got to keep it progressing. So, Bernadette, thank you. I think you said it all. You know, whatever action we take, we're going to have risks and we're going to have rewards, because we all know there's no guarantee in life. And I just, you know, I just look at what this district has accomplished for the, you know, decades it's been around. And I think we need to, I'm ready to put it on the line and go for it. I think our community deserves it. And I know when that first 1% was passed, I know it was difficult. It's going to be and it is difficult. I do know that at that time when that was first started, people said, oh, we will live within our means. We won't ask for any increases. And I would say amen to that, except we didn't know our budgets were going to get cut. We didn't know there was going to be a pandemic. Our expenses have gone up. Our budgets have been cut. So it's hard to say, make us live by what was said several years ago when there was no idea of what all was coming down the pike at us. So I'm certainly hoping the community understands that. I know it upfront and personal with what COVID has done. So I thank you, Bernadette, for bringing this forward.
Molly, I'm a little confused. Procedurally, we're having discussion on what Mrs. Rohr proposed, correct? We still haven't even approved that part, correct?
We are discussing her resolution, okay. Her proposed resolution.
Okay, I'll wait for discussion until after the vote on the resolution.
So is there any further discussion on the resolution? Then we will go ahead and vote. Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay to the agenda resolution.
This is the resolution added to the agenda.
Yes. So we're adding the resolution, but we've not yet voted on the resolution, correct?
I thought this was the vote on the resolution.
See, I thought when we amended the agenda. So we have to vote first on amending the agenda. Then we have to vote on whether or not we're going to approve the amendment that we made with the resolution. It's a two-step process. We didn't do the first step. That's why I was asking the question.
Okay. So the motion she made is just to amend the agenda. Okay.
That's how it should work. And then we have to vote on the amendment that Mrs. Rohr made.
Okay. So let's vote again, just to clarify that you are voting on just the agenda amendment.
Okay.
I have a motion by Rohr and a second by Fenn to amend the agenda to add the proposed resolution to the agenda. Your vote, please. Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Ms. Fenn.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yeah.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yep.
Now we'll take a motion to accept the resolution that was just added to the agenda. I need a motion.
Yes.
I'll second. So now we're into discussion, correct?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm writing down.
Okay, no, that's fine, I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn. Good good catch, Dr. Good, thank you.
I knew we'd get there at some point.
Okay, I mean, we're all here working together. I got it, it's fine, but thank you for catching that.
So we have a motion by Rohr and a second by Fenn to accept the resolution. Discussion.
And my previous comments that were really good should have been here. So fast replay.
Well, I did ask Representative from Garmin Miller and Mark Weekly from Beard Financing if you have any questions regarding anything that I said regarding the work that they've done so far or regarding the financing or at least purchase, any questions they may be able to help, you can ask them directly.
Thanks, Todd. I'll just chirp in here a little bit for my two cents. For me, this comes down to a question of revenue stream. And that's where my primary concern comes from. What we're looking at right now is that we know presented in front of us that in less than 36 months, we're going to be in deficit spending. And we also know that it's been presented by the treasurer that we're not going to be bringing in enough revenue in the 1% earned income that we presently have built in that is going to continue to avoid the deficit spending. So the options that have been presented to us are a ballot, an inside millage, and a lease purchase option. And while the rates are great, they were great previously, and I think they'll continue to be great by what we've seen. And so my concern comes from the idea that we just don't have a revenue stream to pay for this. So the lease purchase option would be us taking out a loan in a building process when we're entering into deficit spending. And while I have my own economic views on deficit spending at a federal level, at a local level, it scares the hell out of me. And so because of that, I have serious questions about how we can do that. I greatly understand the concern with child safety and child health within Hazel Harvey. And I theoretically sit with everyone in the idea that I would love to do something different. My hope is that one of you purchases the winning Mega Millions ticket Tuesday night, and this problem is taken care of. But until then, I still have a revenue stream concern that is very hard for me to get past with this particular resolution. So that's really all I have to offer.
Any further discussion?
So it's not that I disagree with Curtis, and I don't disagree with anybody there, but Kurt, with that being said, so what's the plan when this stuff starts to go and we don't have the revenue stream or funds to pay for some of this stuff in Hazel Harvey? You think the rates will still be good at that time? Is that your point?
I think that unfortunately I don't like those presentation, but I think it's a sort of odds that we have to sort of live with at this time. Further, I think that it probably would behoove the board to go to the ballot, in my opinion, and try to present our argument that way and try to build a funding idea that way. I know it is risky to do both a ballot for this and a ballot for a 1% and or higher, but it allows the community to have their input on how they feel about this as opposed to us taking unilateral action. And that's where my concern comes from. And so given that, I understand that we have to try to figure out our pacing here. But with those kinds of questions with revenue, I don't know how I can say yes to it when I see what our revenue picture looks like.
Do So the only follow-up comment I would add, and I think this is great discussion, and clearly I think this demonstrates that we are hopefully to our community and those on this call, that we understand there's risk here. We understand that this isn't a, you know, this is a clearly the winning, there's no other option what we're doing. There, it's a balance and a great responsibility in making this choice. The pieces of going out to, so yes, we absolutely need the community in this. I think that the measures that the superintendent treasurer have taken in pulling community members in, the engagement, the discussions that are happening, the survey, it's not all inclusive of our township. It's mainly focused on the district, but it is an engagement. There's also a cost to going out for a levy. There's an exorbitant amount of effort, resources, and time. And so when you kind of stack those up, I think it's important to know that we have not taken this decision lightly, at least I'm not, and I believe none of these board members are, nor our superintendent treasurer. It's a difficult choice, but I think, I made the resolution, so I think you know where I'm at on it. I believe that we need to take the risk here. I think we need to look forward, not back, and not leave ourselves open to a situation where we have the last boiler go and we're throwing good money after bad. So I am so appreciative for every board member, our superintendent treasurer, the administration, and the community that's already supported the effort. And I think we as a board need to move forward and tell them we're serious and we're doing this.
And I'll give you my piece. Thing, I don't know, the old board or the previous board says that, you know, 1% and we'll live within our means. I mean, 1990 money ain't the same as 2020 money. I mean, there's inflation, there's cost of living, there's prices go up. It is what it is. For me, it's a safety thing. If we were to have a catastrophic failure of that roof, dying children or dead children, I just couldn't live with. Especially if it was because of something I didn't want to make a move on. It is what it is. I mean, there's nothing more precious than life, especially young life. And if we have a catastrophic failure, and this is a huge what if, all right, I might be extreme, but I see extreme. So for me, it's as simple as a safety issue. If I can prevent a tragedy, even if it's a very small chance, I'll do it every day. If this decision ain't that hard, if it's that. And if we can't get the community to see the safety issues or to at least tell the city to let some business in so we get some more tax revenue, or, you know, it's without any additional financial gain. I mean, budgets are getting cut, like Linda said. You got to live with what you do, but you know, I'll eat that bullet any day. So for me, it's a safety thing. But so I'm on board.
Any further discussion? We'll go ahead and vote on the motion to accept the resolution proposed by Mrs. Rohr. Mrs. Rohr?
Yes.
Mrs. Fenn? Linda, you are muted.
Sorry, yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yes.
Dr. Good?
Nay.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes, I'm voting yes because I think the building is honestly simply unacceptable. This is part of the strategic plan that this board looked at, and the reason why we brought Garment Miller into here to engage the community and move forward. Thanks.
Motion carries. Moving on to item 8, executive session. I need a motion to move into executive session, please.
Here.
Second.
Rohr moves and Hershberger seconds a motion for the Chippewa Local District Board of Education to recess into executive session pursuant to ORC 121.22 for the purpose of pending or imminent court action. The time is 7:26.
Molly, will there be any voting when we come back?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Voting to move into executive session. Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yay.
Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
It is 7:27 and we are moving into executive session.
Thank you, everyone.